on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
You know, Vinny, I'm starting to get in a bad mood, you know? Maybe it's like a mood swing, my hormones, I don't know. You know, maybe it's my need to
improve
my will.
Oh, I don't know. Stugatz, what's happening here?
In here to get up on the fucking table.
Hey, the Fnooks, get it.
Yeah? Vinny, tell them to get up on the fucking table.
Are you totally fucking nuts or what? You could have killed somebody upstairs.
But there ain't nobody upstairs.
The only balls he has is that badge and gun.
Is that right? Here's my gun. Fair game now, okay? And here's my badge.
You want to get by? This is a great fight scene, by the way.
There's only two things stopping you. Fear and common sense. And I'm going to cut your fucking head off.
I do have, like, in this hardcore Italian bar, there's a random Asian martial artist sitting in the corner.
Like the Muay Thai boxing champion of the world just happened to be playing nine ball there that day.
Because if you know anything about the Italian mafia, it's how much they allow people from other ethnicities to just hang out with them.
Welcome back to Fraudsters, everyone. I'm Cena Gazzetti at Cena Now on social media. Justin Williams is here at Justin_Williams_comedy. Send him an email. He'll come to your house. And yes, if you can hear a slight difference in my voice, if you can hear a slight exhaustion in my spirit, if you can hear a slight insanity in me right now, it's because I have COVID. I have contracted the COVID after 3 years of this pandemic. And it finally caught up to me. I feel terrible. But I don't feel as physically bad as I do emotionally bad, Justin.
I know that you have COVID because in Japan, I studied the arts of virology so well that Japanese people assumed that I was born a virologist in Japan. And then throughout my travels in Africa, Asia, and sometimes Jamaica, I synthesized a cure for COVID during my time at the CIA.
Yeah. Look at his hands. He's definitely a doctor. Yeah, so that was Out for Justice. We're going to keep this pumping. That's how hardcore I am, guys. I just want you to know, the shows, the episodes are going to keep flowing despite me having this virus coursing through my body right now. Anyways, that was Out for Justice, where he plays an Italian man. I think, suffice to say, we've done Italian jokes on this show plenty of times here. That was very offensive to the Italian people. Frankly, I wish we had Pat O'Boyle around for him to go on a 40-minute monologue about how offensive Steven Seagal was in his rendition of the Italian people in that. Justin, what'd you like about Out for Justice?
Out for Justice isn't like my, like, I like Mark for Death better and like Under Siege and those. But what I like about Out for Justice, it was cool that it was a kind of more of an urban-based action film in the way that like Rambo and stuff like that usually was, it was like exotic, like war kind of locations. The fact that he was just like in New York City was kind of cool. It's like the same twist that the early 90s does where they start putting things in urban areas, like when they bring Predator out of the jungle and they put it in Los Angeles. Like, I thought that was kind of cool, you know.
Danny Glover, Predator 2. That was great. Yeah. Was that Predator 2?
That was Predator 2, yeah. Massively underrated, by the way. That movie very much holds up.
Incredible. The fact that Danny Glover could defeat a Predator is one of the best underdog stories of cinema. Frankly, he's too old for that shit. Anyways, so let's get back into Seagal. This is going to be our last installment from him here. We got part three. I'm so excited to finally be done with it. I never want to listen to another Seagal album, song. I don't even want to watch his movies anymore. I don't want to hear from this man anymore. We're going to be done. Toast. Never again. Forget about it. So Out for Justice, 90s, right? He was huge in the 90s. But we're going to move into the 2000s now. And Steven Seagal is having a bit of a midlife crisis. His movies weren't grossing what they used to. His first album wasn't charting. I can't imagine why. His costumes had become more and more outrageous. In the 90s, he was all about beads and suede fringe jackets. But now, he's really committing to kimonos. So forget the Native American garb was not enough to get him some traction. He had to go back to his roots, his real roots, the Japanese culture. Justin, can you describe these? We have some great photos here up of Seagal in... it looks, by the way, one of them, he's in front of a step and repeat. So he's on like a red carpet or like some sort of panel discussion in like the yoga kind of cross-legged seated position with a kimono on. This is so unreal to even see that right now.
It's just... You know what? The kimono, though, is a good move. If you're going to be like, if you're at a point in your life where you can't, you're just going to be gaining weight, you should be draped in a lot of fabric. So I will say that he's done a good job with that, right? Because you can hide a lot of things.
It looks like he's about to launch like his own dumpling line of like frozen dumplings. He's at like a corporate event to like get sponsors. It's very sad. Anyways, by this point in his career, his movie's financial success had been steadily declining for about a decade now. The content hadn't changed much, and there are still mostly action sequences framed by racist tropes, but the lighting and the cinematography were worse. I mean, you're not going to really draw the big guys anymore when you're still doing the same thing over and over again. Justin, why do you think Seagal's movies declined so much in popularity after the 90s?
I mean, I think there's a few reasons. For one, you know, Steven Seagal is getting up there in years, right? So once you get past 40 in Hollywood, you know, as it is, then it gets tough, right? But then it's also, you know, I don't think society thinks that police brutality is a good linchpin for like a large part of like popular culture anymore. Like the whole thing of cops just like killing people like for like entire films as like genre, I think kind of it had a great run from the 70s through the 90s, right? The 2000s much more sort of complicated, right? Yeah. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things there. There's also the changing nature of Hollywood, you know, a lot of also Steven Seagal, you know, he did not behave well in a lot of places. So I imagine there's a lot of people that don't want to work with him as well.
Yeah, it's not publicly known, but I'm sure he's, you know, just inside the industry, people are just saying like no to his projects and stuff. Who wants to be with this guy? I mean, he's kind of caricature of himself.
Well, that's even the kind of the word that he's like so like, you know, that. Well, for instance, how does he not get to be in the Expendables sequels, right? It's like precisely because like people don't like him.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to be an awful person to, I mean, Jesus. Wesley Snipes was in prison and they got him out. They like broke Wesley Snipes out of prison to be in one.
Well, Steven Seagal he's like still threatening Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like he's like still, like he's to this day always talking about how he's going to like do all this stuff to him when he sees him. And it's just like, okay, no one wants to work with you. Jean-Claude Van Damme has a sense of humor about himself, you know?
That's true. I think that's what it really comes down to. Like Jean-Claude Van Damme, sense of humor, you know, you could see that, right? He did a movie with Dennis Rodman. You got to have a good sense of humor if you're going to do a movie with Dennis Rodman, you know? Let's take a look at one of these straight-to-DVD releases from 2007, one of the other Justice-esque movies that he did called Urban Justice. Let's play a clip. I don't think I've seen this.
But we still got this little dilemma, now do we know? Now, I know you ain't dumb enough to bring a fist to a gunfight.
I am.
That's Eddie Griffin.
You probably think I'm gonna kill you. But you know what? I came here for one thing. And I did what I came here to do. I got nothing for you.
What?
What the?
It's a cool motherfucker.
Eddie Griffin. Is this how Eddie Griffin auditioned for Undercover Brother? Is that what
this
is?
This is post Undercover Brother.
That's post Undercover Brother. 2007,
probably, right? Yeah.
Oh my god, I hope not.
I feel like Undercover Brother was like 2003, maybe, right?
Wow, Justin, Undercover Brother 1, 2002, Undercover Brother 2, 2019.
The Undercover Brother 2 is not. Somebody bought the rights to the name and made something.
Michael Jai White.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Michael Jai White playing Undercover Brother is just Black Dynamite. It's very confusing.
That is, yeah. Wow, that's so wild. That was an awful clip. I hate that movie already. But, you know, it's like you see these bigger actors, like Eddie Griffin, like legitimately a huge comedian,
yeah,
a huge draw in a straight to DVD movie. I mean, you got to get a payday somehow. You
yeah,
know?
The money was good for, you know, that scene and stuff like that. Eddie Griffin's from my hometown of Kansas City. I love him.
Okay, shout out.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out, Kansas City. Okay.
But Steve, I wonder if he has any funny Steven Seagal stories.
Yeah, could you call him?
I will call him.
Is there like a local yellow book?
We do.
Yellow pages?
All Kansas City entertainers. We all have each other's numbers. I have Jason Sudeikis. I oftentimes call Paul Rudd.
Let's do that game where you call him on FaceTime. It will know if you're really friends with them if they pick up the FaceTime.
Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. Let's do that. Eric Stone Street.
So if you thought that title was bad, though, according to IMDb, it was supposed to be called, ready for this? Not Urban Justice, but Once Upon a Time in the Hood.
It's a great title. Mm. You know what was funny? It was he was still doing the Robert Downey Jr. Tropic Thunder voice in that. It's like, why is he talking like that?
He did really get in. He got into like the black speak there. It was very weird.
Yeah.
I ain't got a problem with you. Oh, so strange. So around the time he would have been filming Urban Justice, Seagal also released a line of energy drinks called Lightning Bolt. Now, just because he was doing black speak in that movie, that didn't keep him from appropriating the Asian culture yet again. He marketed it as the, quote, Asian experience energy drink and claimed that he backpacked across Asia in search of the drink's ingredients. People don't backpack across Asia. That's not a thing, okay?
Backpack across Asia, it's just like, it's just fundamentally unbelievable. Like, he's just, he doesn't even run in movies anymore, and you backpacked across a continent in search of ingredients? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
And I think we have the ad here, and it's laced with all kinds of stereotypes and misogyny, and worst of all, his own music is playing underneath it for the commercial. Ugh, awful. Let's play the ad. I can't believe we have this ad. This is incredible. This is incredible.
It's a unique energy drink. It's the first of its kind.
This is amazing. There's lightning bolts everywhere. Juice blends, I love that font.
And it's the only energy drink to contain Tibetan goji berries and Asian cordyceps. And it hits the spot every time.
Oh my god, put
time.
That font on my tombstone.
Now we can both swim in Steven Seagal's lightning bolt pool.
Cool, baby. Thank you, man. Did you do the right
thank
thing?
Thank you, darling. You
are so sweet. Everybody just see that?
What is happening? Did he?
Steven! I forgot one! I found it in the bottom of the pool!
Lightning Bolt comes in two delicious flavors.
How? Why
Asian
did the
experience and cherry charge. So why not
the can should not sink to the
thrill?
Bottom of the pool.
I like it. I like it that it comes in two flavors, cherry or Asian.
Oh my god, that was awful.
An Asian woman wearing the traditional bikini in the commercial.
Neon green, Japanese colors as well, neon green. So after that energy drink failed, Seagal released his second album, Mojo Priest, which featured tracks like, quote, She That Pretty.
Get too close, make a preacher drop his collar, ain't she pretty? I think the whole world would be not so pretty.
Talk to my ass.
I told her I can't have no more sex. But from now on, she can talk to my ass.
And alligator ass.
Someone took me to a restaurant.
restaurant and I had to eat something fast. I ordered me some chicken that gave me alligator ass.
I think you haven't had this many ass in the title since Juvenile. What the?
Well, my boss man gave me wages, so I went down to the market. Before I bought some bread, somebody took it out of my pocket. The preacher stole my Cadillac.
Cadillac.
Preacher stole my Cadillac.
Like, I don't,
what is happening? How did we get here?
The preacher stole my Cadillac. You know, the most unbelievable part of that song was the idea that someone would be able to get a piece of bread away from Steven Seagal. His big Aikido hands would crush you if you went for his breadsticks.
So, Justin, believe it or not, this guy actually toured on this album. We need to tour. If this man toured, we need to tour. Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to break for ads real quicker, but when we come back, we'll be in 2009 when things start to look up for Seagal and when Michael Bolton released his first mainstream pop album since 2002, One World, One Love. Hazel, what? How did this happen now? I thought we were done talking about Michael Bolton.
Just one more song. This is the last one. I promise.
An album that AllMusic called, quote, not as memorable as his earliest hits, but the, quote, sound of an old pro doing what he does best. I don't know how you're slipping Michael Bolton constantly into this show.
Uh-oh.
He did reggae? Oh,
maybe
no.
I'm a fool, but being foolish gets me closer.
That's actually much more respectable than what Steven Seagal did. I don't know about that. I think that's it's almost permissible. Justin?
The only white guys that I give clearance to do reggae is Sting and the Police.
There we go. I think that's a good one.
Every Sting and the Police song is just reggae. He's like, every day I go to store, make everybody get good my door. I go down the pump, I don't know you. Ding, 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 ding. It's like it's reggae-ish.
Hazel, I wish we could shadow ban you from ever even seeing Michael Bolton in your social feed anymore.
You're cut off.
No.
We'll be right back after this.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
In the California Road Trip Republic, we believe you take adventure for a ride. Whether coastal cruising, mountain motoring, or redwood roaming, discover beauty around every turn. Your California road trip can kick off from anywhere.
Starting route.
But it should always start at visitcalifornia.com. Then buckle up, crank those tunes, and ride with us in the California Road Trip Republic.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt Collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome back. It's 2009 now. Seagal just married Erdenatuya Elbatsukh, who was his personal assistant. I'm sure there was not a power dynamic issue there at all. And he's reviving his on-screen career with a little help from A and E. Hazel, hit it.
I make a living in the movies. But for the past 20 years...
20 years.
I've also been a cop. And along with some of the finest deputies on the force, I serve the people of Jefferson Parish, Louisiana.
Code 94G, shots fired.
My name is Steven Seagal.
All units respond.
That's right. Steven Seagal, Deputy Sheriff.
Now, by the way, the end of there is just a guy kicking a glass from the back seat out of a cop car, which is like, why is that in the intro? What is that? Is that the type of violence he's dealing with? Steven Seagal.
I'm Steven Seagal, and for the last 20 years, I've also been a cop. But I have not mentioned it ever, because I would never, ever mention anything that bolstered my security credentials.
And it's not like Hollywood would have wanted to make a movie of me being a cop or anything like that.
Yeah. And I talked about my experience in the CIA, but I thought talking about my 20 years of experience in Jefferson Parish, Louisiana was a step too far.
Yeah. Every chance he got, he told everyone that he was like a murderous assassin for the government, but never the 20 years of punching in, getting overtime at Jefferson Parish.
I once snuck the Shah of Iran's son out, and I had to hit him over the head, but I did not want to tell anybody about the time someone was disturbing the peace at a Dunkin' Donuts.
In the series, Steven Seagal, lawman, he's a deputy sheriff in Jefferson Parish, which is the area right outside of New Orleans. Apparently, he had been filming movies in the South when he was asked by the Jefferson Parish sheriff at the time, Harry Lee, to give defensive martial arts training to the police force. And he charmed him so much that he was named a deputy sheriff. Seagal is quoted as saying, "I've decided to work with A&E on this series now because I believe it's important to show the nation all the positive work being done here in Louisiana. To see the passion and commitment that comes from the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office in this post-Katrina environment." Let's hear a bit more from that episode.
It can be very dangerous out on these streets, but nothing's these more streets. Important to me than protecting the people in this parish and honoring the name of Harry Lee. That's one of the many reasons why I'm willing to put myself in harm's way and be a good cop.
Be careful out there. Come back at the end of the shift. You'll be careful.
All right, let's saddle up.
Now, no.
We travel in two SUVs. Johnny, Larry, and me in one. And Alex and Lawrence in the other.
I have to sit in the front because I get car sick in the back.
We go into the worst neighborhoods and try to make our presence felt and step on the crime as best we can.
Yeah, this is all like the worst. This is all the culture of policing that all activists are trying to reverse now that got programmed into the public, right? The whole like warrior mentality stuff. You know what I mean?
These are the Jecks, you know, these are the projects.
The Jecks, because Steven Seagal's hip.
These are the Jecks, you know, these are the projects.
When you're so poor, you can't even afford the pro.
There's always a lot of illegal activity along here, so we're just cruising to make sure everybody's all right. As a lifelong practitioner of the martial arts, I'm training to remain calm in the face of adversity and danger. When the world is speeding by for others, I see things for what they are. A cock of the head, a foot planted forward or back, a flick of the wrist. They all tell me something, whether somebody's going to fight, pull a gun, or run.
That's how innocent people get shot.
Yeah. Like if when someone's reaching for their phone, that could be a gun, so I shoot first. Ask questions later.
Yeah, that's it.
So just for some context, this show came out after Cops, the TV show Cops,
yeah,
had already been churning out episodes for 2 decades. Loved Cops, by the way. Watched that for so long. Then it became wildly problematic.
Became? It always was. The culture just changed.
I mean, for me personally, I think honestly, when I read The New Jim Crow,
yeah,
and then I remember seeing it come on television, I was like, oh, wow, this show hits different now. This show...
No, it's dystopian. All this stuff, like just watching poor people be gobbled up by the system. Like this is The Running Man. This is the movie The Running Man, but just in real life.
But isn't there's something here that's interesting too, that I, as a kid growing up, cops were entertaining. And that's how I grew acceptance into the violence that cops were administering. Like we would laugh at Cops, the television show. We thought it was funny. When, especially when they do the Pittsburgh episode, there'd be a bunch of yinzers getting fucked with, and they'd be like, hey, I ain't coming down off the roof here. And then, like, the cops are like, you gotta come on down right now, Tony. He's like, I ain't coming down. We'd be laughing at that, right? But, like, later you realize, and that shit is still funny, but later you realize, like, wow, this is really just trying to kind of brainwash us in a way or condition us to be okay with a certain amount of violence that cops could do.
Yeah, yeah. There's only one Cops clip I approve of, and it's the one where there's a man with no shirt on, and he's old, and he's arguing with a woman. It's like domestic violence, and they're like, the cops are like, stop it, stop it, and then they hit him with the taser, and it just like doesn't do anything to him, and then he just looks at the woman and goes, "I'll get you, bitch," and then they wrestle him to the ground.
Yeah, it's real bad, man. I don't know.
The only thing that's, if you watch that clip, you'll be not woke for a second. You'll laugh.
Did you watch Lawman in 2009? Were you watching that?
I watched like the first three episodes, but by the time you get to 2009 or whatever, it's just dumb. It's just dumb. Like Seagal's not even moving around. Like if you're watching this show with even half a critical eye at this point, you see it as like kind of like a parody of itself, right?
I remember watching a couple episodes and the cops were not happy with him. They were just like, whoa, 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 take it easy, Steven. Take it. There was a couple moments where they're trying to check him as well because they're like, Jesus, this is not, like, you almost feel bad for the cops that are working with him because they're just trying to do their job to a certain extent. And then they got this guy who's coming in saying that he's an expert in everything. Sure, he's a good shot. But hell, he's just an actor at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think a little bit of the resistance to that. Like, there's this one episode I remember where the cops are kind of ribbing him. They're like, hey, yeah, we were talking down at the station. We heard Jean-Claude Van Damme could kick your ass. And it's totally getting under Seagal's skin because that's like, he's hated Jean-Claude Van Damme for, like, at this point, 20 years. He's been threatening to hurt Jean-Claude Van Damme if he ever sees him.
You know what? In that Lawman show, though, it's funny because he's constantly teaching everyone. He did that on set, that John Leguizamo clip where he takes over the set and he's like, everyone's going to listen to me now. I'm the boss. You follow me. That's what he loves to do. That's like he wants to be the center of attention. And it's funny, we actually have another clip from our interview with Rob from McDojo Life that kind of speaks to season one of Lawman.
Oh, yeah, that's totally what we're talking about. It's the extension of having a black belt in Aikido, right? And being someone who has that level of legitimacy. So the way Seagal extends it to, I taught everyone this technique. I am the most dangerous man on the planet. I worked for the CIA. It's like how he takes like that little platform of thing. I'm the greatest police officer of all time, and I can direct a shot through a hole.
Oh, I love that video. There's a video of him teaching someone, like it was back in Steven Seagal, Lawman was on. And it's the funniest video ever. If you like really listen to what he's saying, it's nonsense. He's teaching a guy how to shoot on the gun range, right? And as he's teaching the guy how to shoot on the gun range, he's talking about it as if it was a bow and arrow. And he goes, this is like a bow and arrow. What you're going to do is you're not going to pull the trigger. You're going to push the bullet forward into the target. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about, crazy man? Like, no, you're going to pull the trigger and the bullet's going to go forward. You're going to have to aim. Like, you're not going to push the bullet into the target. You're not going to will it to the center. You're going to have to actually use technique here, brother. You can make that stuff up. It sounds mystical. Maybe it makes you feel good. But
I think we have this clip, right? Should we play this clip? Let's play this clip. This is great. I'm so happy you brought this up.
Oh, man. It's a piece of gold in my heart. Every time I hear about like Seagal, I always think about, you got to push the bullet to the target. He wears shooting glasses everywhere he goes. It is dumbfounding to me. Or back then he did. I don't know if he still does the shooting glasses thing anymore. I know he does the sarong thing now or something like that. Like the big neckerchief. Does he still do the big neckerchief?
Yeah.
I remember those. Oh man, like you really see that man. That show Lawman really did say a lot about Seagal, because he would change his voice depending on who he would speak to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would go from, yeah, I'm Steven Seagal, I'm one of the baddest men on the planet. Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing, son? Dude, like, you understand you're on camera, right? Like, you're just gonna go, okay, well, roll it, keep rolling, just let him do his thing, I guess, get it out of system.
Just like Zen archery or something, it's a kind of a meditation for some people, being able to, you know, just really concentrate on being masterful with your discipline.
When you wanna really build confidence in yourself, you wanna show yourself what you can do ultimately. And ultimately, I think I can shoot the tip off these. When you're really a good shot, once in a while, you can light a match.
Oh, you have it. Oh, this is great.
Once a year, every officer has to qualify with firearms in order to use their
pistol on duty.
And next week is Alex's test.
See how it goes right where I want it?
Yes, sir.
Right there. I'd say it's hitting.
If I don't pass weapons qualification, I definitely don't want to be behind a desk. I heard Chief Seagal is a heck of a shot, and I'm going to ask him for pointers to help me knock off the rust.
Chief Seagal.
Oh, good.
I'm
going
to start out close, shoot a bullet hole. He's supposed to try to shoot it in the bullet hole.
Put it in the same hole. Damn.
I'm trying to pass down some of the secrets that have made me a master shooter. I don't want to just
master,
look on
his pass
this test, but I want him to be a better marksman
what?
For life.
All right. Ready?
Damn.
Both in the same hole, buddy.
Oh, not bad.
Don't fix it. Oh, here's my God. So I don't know if you guys know a lot about shooting or not, but if you look at the position of their thumbs, it is absolutely horrific. So I have my friend, Mr. Glock, here. Me and Mr. Glock are homies. We go everywhere together. I'm in Florida, so don't worry. This is completely how it should be here. I also have an alligator in the basement. But if you look, I'm clear. There's nothing in there, okay?
Copy that, so thank you. Gun safety.
All right, so when you're shooting, all right, how it was taught to me and something that helped me out, by the way, just in case you guys think I'm full of it, Killcliff is one of my sponsors, and they're run by Navy SEALs. They're a Navy SEAL-run company, and they donate a lot of their proceeds to the Navy SEAL Foundation. So there's my quick plug of the day. But whenever I get flown out and when I get the chance to shoot with these guys and stuff like that, it was put to me very simply. How would you be able to make a gun shoot the same hole twice? Like he's talking about, right? If you could make the bullet shoot the same hole twice, the only way to do that would be to take the gun, put it in a vise, and then pull the trigger, and it would always shoot the same hole because there's no movement whatsoever. So when you're holding onto a firearm, your goal is to create a vise the best you can. When your thumbs are doing this, you are not creating a vise. What you have now done is you have loose thumbs that are just chilling, and then that slide will actually start messing up your thumb. It'll start cutting your finger. You don't want your thumbs up here by the slide. As you can clearly see in his particular video, his thumbs are hanging out by that slide. So when you pull that trigger, that slide's going to start slicing up your thumb. Absolutely nonsensical. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to take your thumbs, and you're going to press them. See his thumbs? You're going to want to press them away from that slide on the lower half of the firearm and make sure that your thumbs are not getting sliced up by that. So you're going to pinch and press. You're not going to chill up here. You're going to pinch and press. So that way you don't get hit by the slide. But if not, his thumbs are just floating because I can only see from the side. If his thumbs are floating, that means the firearm is going to have a lot of wiggle room. So as you shoot, there'll be a lot of recoil and you won't have a lot of control of the weapon. So whatever he was teaching, that is bullshit. Just tossing it out there.
But he's a master shooter, though. I'm a master shooter. Master shooter.
I've learned how to get my thumbs cut up by the slide for years. This is how we do it like a man.
He just can't handle this guy. This is what...
I bet you from here on out, you'll never be able to unsee that shit.
I want you to do this. Yeah.
Blade.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, leave those thumbs up there on that slide.
I really didn't want this hole to get bigger than a silver dollar. I want you to take that front sight. I want you to put that right there. Squeeze. Same hole. Oh!
Same hole.
See how it jerked like that?
You have to be double for that kind of action.
Oh!
Guess
who's buying beer tonight, boy?
Damn.
Chiefs were all right there. I shot all of these. He knows what he's doing, and he knows how to put lead on
He knows
on target.
How to not teach me how to shoot, that's for sure.
He didn't teach you how to do a damn push-up, I can tell you that shit right now. Jesus. Worried about that shooting course, you're going to have to do an obstacle course too, aren't you, homie?
Okay, we're back. So, you know, it's funny that Rob brought up how Seagal talked, because Hazel actually reached out to some folks who worked on Lawman out of curiosity, and that sentiment was actually echoed. Hazel, why don't you jump on here? Do you want to share what you learned in that endeavor?
Yeah, so I couldn't get into it too much with anyone just because of non-disclosure agreements for the show, but I did talk to a few people. One former crew member I talked to said it was actually a joke on set that his voice would change depending on who he would talk to, as in, like, if he was talking to a Hispanic man or a black man or a fellow cop, his voice would alter accordingly to whatever he thought was an appropriate way to speak to those people. Another crew member didn't work on set very long and didn't notice that particular habit, but he did say that the first thing that Seagal said to him was, quote, hold the camera up higher or I'll shove it up your ass.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he said it was a few years ago, but it was something of that nature. And he was quite taken aback. Both the folks from the camera department that I talked to said that despite being quite tall, said that they routinely had to hold cameras so far up over Seagal's head that the frame of the shot basically included his head in the floor. Apparently, this was to cater to Seagal's wish to hide his double chin.
Yeah.
Which is honestly the most, like, human thing about him.
So the, you know, Instagram influencers out there that are listening will know this. The higher you hold up, the perspective changes. And so if you've got a little bit more, you know, luggage on yourself that you want to kind of hide, then it's a camera trick to kind of go a little bit higher from the perspective. That's the trick there. But, you know. That's like they do the opposite thing for Tom Cruise. They go a little lower. They hire shorter actors as well. They go a little lower to make them look bigger. If you go higher, kind of tend to look a little smaller.
Yeah, other than that, I couldn't really get into the nitty-gritty of Lawman with the people I talked to because of the NDAs, but one person did point out how strange it was that he would present himself as God, which I don't think we've played a clip of. So here is Steven Seagal talking to a reporter about how he is a Buddhist god.
I was born clairvoyant, I was born a healer, and I was born very different.
You can say that again. Seagal is said to be a reincarnated Buddhist Lama, and to many, that makes him a god.
A god?
I was born clairvoyant.
Now he's Miss Cleo all of a sudden. It's great.
Well, I mean, you know, this I really shouldn't say on camera, but...
But he does say it anyway. He claims he's God.
We say sort of the same thing in Buddhism. We believe that all sentient beings have the Buddha nature within them, which means they are all, you know, sort of God.
Okay,
Seagal
now he's God.
Seagal sings, acts, and plays guitar. He tells me many of his fans are also his spiritual students, that he teaches them on and off screen just with his gaze and gestures.
The ones who know, they can look into my eyes or just hear my voice and something clicks and they know.
Now we have a narcissism. Now he's a cult leader.
Seagal teaches others what he's learned himself from great teachers in India and elsewhere.
He's out for justice. He's above the law. Now it's Steven Seagal, mind reader.
If he's so clairvoyant, why didn't he see straight to DVD movies coming? It's like career is straight to DVD. Like, wouldn't you not do The Glimmer Man if you were clairvoyant?
So the person who brought up how he presented himself as a god on set also just pointed out the dichotomy between that and how he ate meat and the vanity, which we talked about. And then what we know to be public, which is that season 2 stopped filming because of sex trafficking charges. And season 3 stopped filming because he faced investigation. So, you know, take from that what you will. That's mostly what I had talked to folks about who had worked on Lawman and were kind enough to talk to me. Other than that, the only anecdote I can think of is that several people mentioned he wouldn't go out and shoot the show if it was raining or misting at all, because he was afraid of what might happen to his hair.
I wouldn't film if my hair washed away in the rain either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that on film.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants a Rudy Giuliani moment.
Yeah. Oh, God. So as with everything Seagal's ever done, some reporters actually called him out for cosplaying as a cop. This is from an investigative reporter for the LA Times, who should really be sponsoring this series by now, because we've did a lot of quotes from them. Justin, would you mind reading this article written after season one of Lawman premiered?
The show's conceit is that Seagal, the movie star, has also been Seagal, the cop, for the last two decades, working major cases in Jefferson Parish, Louisiana. This is no publicity stunt, promoters say. Seagal wore the badge with a quiet pride under most people's radar. As the actor speaks, a black and white photo of him raising his hand in what looks like a swearing-in ceremony appears on the screen, creating the impression that it was taken when he first joined the department. At closer inspection, however, it appears the photo was taken 20 years and at least 20 pounds.
Everyone's so mean. Everyone's so mean. It's just,
they're so mean. They're just ethering him all over the place.
At closer inspection, however, it appears the photo was taken 20 years and at least 20 pounds after the fact. Seagal says he attended a police academy in Los Angeles and has a certificate from Peace Officer Standards and Training, POST, an organization that accredits police officers. Post officials in California and Louisiana said they have no record of Seagal being certified. No. Attempts to reach Seagal were unsuccessful, and a spokesman for the show did not respond to queries about his qualifications.
I mean, did they have a little tag at the end of the show that was like, this is a satire? You know, this show's for entertainment purposes only. Steven Seagal is not actually a police officer.
Actually, no. This show had coverage of a regular news show. I think that's why they were allowed to film as much as they were, because a judge decided that they were technically news. Sorry to jump in, but yeah, crazy.
So, okay, here's what's next. How did the world react to Lawman? Well, they loved it. They fucking loved it.
Yeah.
They loved it. God damn it, they loved it. What is wrong? This is what happens in America. Someone so transparently fraudulent finds his way into the hearts and minds of millions of Americans. 3.4 million viewers. The most ever for a premiere episode of any series on A&E up until that point, obviously. Why?
I love it. That means people were literally turning off A&E biographies of like famous historical figures to watch like Lawman.
Yeah. Lawman spent two seasons on A&E and in Louisiana putting out episodes like The Way of the Gun, Medicine Man, Too Young to Die, Street Justice, and Crack War. Okay. These names are incredible.
These are all his film names.
But listen, how does a show that's got a head of steam, that's got a lot of people watching it, good ratings, lots of money, supportive cast, how does a show like that stop filming, Justin? How do you think?
I'm going to guess Steven Seagal did some stuff that you could get away with before the internet was out.
Ding, 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 ding. Filming abruptly stopped after Caden Nguyen, a model who had been hired by Seagal's personal assistant on the show, filed a lawsuit against Seagal, charging Seagal with, you guessed it, sexual harassment, illegal trafficking of females for sex, sweet Jesus, failure to prevent sexual harassment, retaliation, wrongful termination, and false representation about employment. Oh my God. A&E got wind of this. Give them some credit, I guess. I mean, they brought this monster into the world, but they also took this monster off the air immediately when the lawsuit was filed. By the way, it takes a while to file a lawsuit, so they waited till it was officially filed. I mean, it's not like there had been at least half a dozen accusations against Seagal before Lawman's pre-production would have begun. And it's not like police reports, lawsuits, and a major reporting by outlets like Vanity Fair had detailed decades of Seagal's abuse before A&E said, you know what, that guy, we'd love to do a show about him and a law enforcement. I think it'd be a wonderful show. But Zen Archer, Shinto priest, and expert marksman Steven Seagal cannot be stopped. Lawman was resurrected on the cable network Reels, Reels with a Z, folks, a few years later with the help from, quote, the toughest sheriff in America, seen here promoting birtherism.
Oh, God.
Yep. Yep. Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it.
Chief law enforcement officer elected by the people. I have a right to investigate and speak out. So I'm not talking about where he came from. I don't care where he came from. We're working on a fraudulent, forged government document. That's what we are doing.
You're maintaining that the birth certificate that the President of the United States revealed and released to the public, you're maintaining that that is fraudulent.
That's right.
Ooh.
That's not even the worst thing Sheriff Joe did.
That's exactly right. Joe Arpaio, we all remember him, the Arizona sheriff that had an outdoor tent city prison. That is insane. His policies were so brutal that he was criticized by the DOJ, the U.S. District Courts, Amnesty International, the Anti-Defamation League, the ACLU, the Arizona Ecumenical Council, the American Jewish Committee, and the New York Editorial Board called him, quote, America's worst sheriff. Just a note to the Times, when you do things like that and you call him America's worst sheriff, you make him stronger, okay? He feeds off stuff like that. According to Seagal, Arpaio actually invited Seagal to join his police force, and they did share a lot in common. It's awful.
Seagal says working alongside Arpaio let him see firsthand what it's like to deal with what he calls America's most pressing problem.
I think our biggest problem is open borders. I think Reagan once said, if you don't, you know, have security on your borders, you don't have a country.
Brace yourself, guys.
But can you pause not everything that, went as...
Just for the listeners to know, Ronald Reagan actually gave amnesty to millions of undocumented people. And his last speech as president was actually a tribute to immigrants.
Yeah. Yeah, Ronald Reagan, as bad Ronald as Reagan he was...
He would be considered the most liberal on immigration. He makes Obama look like Stalin.
Yeah. It was a different time.
You can actually watch the 1980 presidential debate between Ronald Reagan and George Bush, where they're arguing about who is nicer to Mexicans and who should let more undocumented Mexicans stay in the country.
Yeah.
And George Bush is like, my brother's married to a Mexican. He's like my son. Yeah, Jeb, right? But what's also great about this, too, is that we've now finally found an international culture that Steven Seagal doesn't want to appropriate.
Oh, that's right. That's true. Not a fan of NAFTA. He's anti-NAFTA. We figured it out. Arpaio even encouraged Seagal to run for governor.
Joe Arpaio and I were talking about me running for governor. I suppose I would remotely consider it, but probably I would have...
too many sexual assault allegations.
A lot of other responsibilities that may be more important to address.
As for those who consider
more important than being governor of Arizona,
jobs.
Oh my
police
God.
Officers, the real ones, are a unique breed. The real ones would give their lives if they had to at the drop of a hat for people that they didn't even know, for a stranger. So they are my family.
This is just uncomfortable. They are my family. How many families do you have, Steven Seagal?
Well, he couldn't just give a tribute to cops without linking himself to them. That's what I also find like interesting.
Justin, he is a cop for 20 years. He cut his teeth as a cop while he was becoming a keto master and a master chef as well.
In the Jex, Louisiana.
The Jex, deep in the Jex. Production for Lawman picked up and moved from the outskirts of New Orleans to the outskirts of Phoenix, where Seagal led more training that he was totally qualified to do, like an active shooter police response training at a local school.
It's so dangerous. They hired an actor to train police officers in the most dangerous situation for children possible in society. This is
you need a good guy with everyone. What about a good guy with a gun? Good guy with a gun. Good actor with a gun, maybe? Good actor.
Everybody that authorized this should never work again.
Like it's like a D-list actor with a gun. That's what you need. Okay. This is crazy.
Like, imagine there's an active shooter drill, right? And the cops just do what, like, Steven Skull told them to do. So they just put a cue ball inside a sock and start swinging it at the gun.
Yeah. This is what you need to do.
America's war on gun crime is being fought on fronts, from city streets to offices, even schools.
Oh, my God.
Now the world's most powerful country has a new weapon. Yes, all-action hero. Steven Seagal.
Oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
Time out from the bright lights of Hollywood to train posse volunteers in Arizona in how to protect students should a gunman break past school gates.
This is how people around the world think about us. They think Steven Seagal runs everything.
You're not doctors and lawyers, you're cops right now.
And what is he wearing a keffiyeh around his neck? What the fuck?
They gotta do it. If they don't do it, you gotta make them comply. Quick. For every second that goes by, you could be losing children, okay?
Yes, sir.
Seagal losing guided 48 children.
Volunteers through I can't various with aspects this. Of shooting scene management, including room-to-room searches and apprehending gunmen.
This country is doomed, man.
The most what is... precious asset we
oh
have
my God, guys, everyone, he's in a playground doing this interview.
I'm here to try to teach the posse firearms and martial arts to try to help them learn how to respond quicker and help protect our children.
But not everyone agrees.
Posse members might be shooting at something who knows what, and who gets caught in the middle? Our little kids.
It's the brainchild of controversial Arizona police chief Joe Arpaio, dubbed America's toughest sheriff. And he had some choice words for anyone who dared disagree with the exercise.
I don't know what these protesters are talking about. I'm going to say it again. For those protesters, we are here to protect the children. That's the main mission. They can say whatever they want, but I'm not going to stop.
Wait, pause it. It's like, I just never understood this logic of to protect the children, we need to make the ground that they walk on into a battlefield. That is how we protect them. That we need to make it a war zone. If we just make it a war zone, then we will win. If we just add... like six more guys with guns, which, by the way, all of those people are usually late to the party after the shooting had happened. Look at fucking Parkland. The security guard who had a gun went the other way. I mean, this stuff doesn't work. No one wants to give the art teacher a gun.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. And it's just like authoritarian messaging, right? It's people that need an enemy to be scared of, and they need like this idea of security being provided for them. Because if you took him at his word, if you thought that Steven Seagal is the best person to protect your children, like nobody believes that. Like this is just like not. There's so many levels of not critical thinking going on here, and the fact that the British aired this in the way that they did is totally making fun of us.
They're so making fun of us.
Yeah, it's like, look at this failed civilization.
Look at this.
Like, this might as well be a clip from, like, I mean, I'm telling you, this is bottom of the barrel stuff. And it very much puts where we're at now into context, right?
You could put that on a satirical comedy show and be like, hey, not a bad sketch. Not a bad sketch. Yeah.
No, it's like, this is how an empire sort of ends, right?
Yeah. Slowly crumbling.
Steven Seagal in your schools.
Well, after that disturbing clip, we got to start wrapping this up because I'm tired and on so many levels. Lawman finally ends before season 3 even finished filming, with Seagal leaving the, quote, force to avoid facing investigation for a raid gone awry.
He shot somebody or broke someone's arm without reading them their rights. And they're like, can't do that. Not out for justice.
But he was speaking patois. That wasn't the sign. That wasn't the sign to break his arm. Oh, my God. While Seagal did hang up his cop uniform, he did not hang up his Capri sun-colored oval sunglasses, which he would wear with those sweet silk jackets. And on special occasions, he'd even wear a nice little do-rag. How nice.
And by the way, he starts wearing this stuff, right? Because you have the war in Iraq and a war in Afghanistan, right? So you have people returning wearing desert tactical stuff. That's what all that tactical stuff and the Arab scarf, that's what all that is. It's like he's now finding another motif to plug yourself into.
This is like he tracks whatever like the World Wrestling Federation was doing, whatever that was.
Yeah, he has more gimmicks than a wrestler that just moves to a new territory. Yeah. You just repackage him.
All right, so we're going to take one more break before we end this series. And when we return, we'll touch on a few of Seagal's more recent ventures. And then, folks, we will be done.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Welcome back. Before we go, we've got one more little tiny beautiful little morsel of fraud goodness. It's not so much race hustlery, but it is something we're used to. Seagal had to settle charges with the SEC for failing to disclose payments he received for promoting a... Give it to me. Give it to me. You got it, Sita. Come on. Everybody wants to know. What was it? A cryptocurrency. Everyone's happy. If you threw your phone, go pick it up. Go pick it up right now. Okay? Don't at me, everyone. Okay? So there's an initial coin offering conducted by Bitcoin 2 Gen. Now, that's two I's on the coin and the number 2, G-E-N, which makes this look like, if you look at the way it's spelled, B-I-T, you know, Bitcoin, two I's, 2 Gen, looks like it's like a clickbait coin. Like, they're just getting you to click on it. And you know how when you get, like, you know, you get the one of those phishing emails with the scammer trying to get your password or something? And this is what this feels like. He was promised $250,000 in cash and $750,000 worth of these worthless B2G coins in exchange for promoting the already illegal initial coin offering on his social media accounts.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey,
hey. I'm sure he has someone doing his social media posts for him, but the post encouraged people not to, quote, miss out on B2G's ICO and included even a press release titled, quote, Zen Master Steven Seagal has become brand ambassador for Bitcoin 2 Gen. Oh my God. Zen Master,
who had to avoid charges of police brutality like 6 months ago.
Oh my God.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio, you think of Zen, Jesus. Not boiling white hot racist white nationalist rage.
So it looks like he got paid $157,000 in real dollars. So the SEC penalized him for that. And then they added another $157,000 penalty on top of that. He also was not allowed to promote another security, digital or otherwise, for 3 years. Wow. I couldn't believe it. I cannot believe it. But you know what? I can't believe it. If anyone was going to get in on the crypto game, it was race hustler extraordinaire Steven Seagal. One area, though, we didn't cover as much is Seagal's ties to Russia. He's apparently a friend of Putin, and he thinks he's a great man. After leaving Joe Arpaio's team in 2014, he joined Putin's. What do you know? I don't know. Putin? Arpaio? Who would you pick, Justin? If you had to, like, if it was a kickball team and the captains were Putin and Arpaio, whose team would you want to be on?
I would pick Vladimir Putin, like, for sure.
I would definitely pick Putin.
Yeah, Arpaio's just, like, your run-of-the-mill, you know, racist sheriff.
Dumb racist sheriff. Yeah.
Yeah, Putin has, like, KGB. Like, he's, like, a terrible, terrible person.
Yeah.
But there's, like, I would rather have stories with him. I don't know if I like all that poison, though. That's the thing. I'd be on edge. I'd be like, is this poisoned?
Yeah. I would just like a proper, I feel like Arpaio, if he wanted to give you feedback, he would give you, like, he'd sit you down and you'd do, like, a feedback session.
Yeah.
And he may scream at you. But Putin may just, like, poison your coffee and you'd be dead. He'd be like, hey, why don't we just have a one-on-one, Putin?
Yeah.
We could have just talked this out.
Mm. I'd rather be on a super yacht with Putin rather than some goofy ranch in Arizona.
Fucking tent city.
Yeah. Bunch of like Slovenian models around us. Putin all the way.
So tell us the other news story about you recently is that you are considering running for governor of Siberia.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, that's for sure. You're considering running for governor of Siberia. Tell us about that. Why, if that's true, what you would do if elected?
This is one of the millions of fake news sort of stories. I was at a film festival in Vladivostok, which is where my father's family is from. And somebody in the audience said, hey, man, we don't have a governor here. You want to become the governor? I said, sure. And there it went. So, yeah. But at the same time, we said 30 times, guys, we were joking. And, Vladivostok, had a friend of mine become governor there the next day. So it was just a joke that the press enjoyed doing bad things to certain people with.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. So you are a Russian citizen. You were awarded Russian citizenship. You're in Russia now. Give us your perspective on the debate over Russia taking place in the United States right now.
Well, I mean, I said this before. I believe this is a situation where there's a tremendous amount of propaganda against Russia. And in my opinion, most of the things that are being said is fabricated and untrue. And I think that this whole thing with Russian collusion and the president of the United States being involved in Russian collusion, all this, I think it's all a fantasy. And I think that this has more to do with the great divide between Republicans and Democrats and the conservatives and the liberals, and how at this point, certain groups will do anything in the world. They don't care if it's legal, illegal, immoral. Ugh. They don't care anything to win this battle where their agenda triumphs. And so, I really think, and I've said this before, we're at a tipping point in the United States of America where if people don't realize that Republicans and Democrats really at one point have to start to work together in a more civil fashion.
Peacemaker.
And agree to disagree.
A peaceful
and
man.
Understand that, the truth and civility will really, really help the process of true politics instead
of exactly
destroying
what Putin
our
wants
nation.
To do. Everyone just
so you're
agreed
in
to disagree.
Russia while you talk to Russians. What do they make of this? Are they following?
That's what's so interesting about that. That's actually nothing is objectionable about the last part of what he said. It's just like, of course, ironic because he's in a country that jails and poisons all of the opponents of the state, right?
Yeah.
But then the first part of his statement, too, I mean, may this may not have happened yet, but he's like, there's no evidence of it. It's like Donald Trump got busted on that phone call trying to extort the Ukraine. Totally just like doing Russia's bidding.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, or just.
Yeah, it's just very funny.
So now. We've come full circle now, I guess, on Seagal.
It's what he always wanted. It's totally, yeah, he found a regime that...
Yeah, back to his birthplace-ish, back to his home country-ish, what? Forget about all the other, he's not Jamaican anymore, he's not Asian anymore, he's not black anymore, he is Russian. He's got the Russian citizenship, and this is where he's at. I guess he's fighting in this war against Ukraine now. What a monster.
Yeah, he actually just celebrated his 70th birthday party with like a bunch of friends of the regime, and he's still saying about how the Russian government is great and all of these things, right?
Jesus.
And it's also, you know, it's just ironic because he's on Fox News representing the Russian state, warning people about the dangers of propaganda. It's like we're so crazy. Like,
it's the irony is too thick to even see through at this point. Justin, this was supposed to be one episode, and then now it's three, because we found so much on Steven Seagal. But what did you want to do, Steven Seagal?
I was very interested in, you know, we had this idea of race hustling, and Steven Seagal is like very unique in the fact that he's hustled a lot of different identities.
Exactly.
I mean, he, you know, very much appropriates Japanese identity as a kickstart of his career for, you know, the period on Deadly Ground. He's very much directly appropriating sort of Native American tropes, right? You can say that in Out for Justice, he's appropriating like a version of like Brooklyn Italian-American identity. A lot of stolen valor military stuff. He's a black blues man from the gritty streets of Detroit during certain periods, right? And, you know, finally, the last identity that he's currently claiming is that he is a Russian of Mongolian ethnicity. He's now claiming that his relatives are Mongolians. And his current wife is Mongolian.
Oh, so. That's a deep, that's like a B-side. That goes way back. Thank you for that, Justin. You know, I'm glad we did this. This needed to be done. Of course, again, the man never went to jail for fraud. And that's the problem with these race hustlers, is that we just allow these things to happen. These cultural frauds end up having a bigger impact on our society than even some of the financial ones. So I will say this, big ups to Hazel for putting these three episodes together. Well done. She was leading all the writing and a lot of the research on this. Emily Fusco, amazing job. Just real bang up job from the team. I couldn't believe it. Just incredible amount of information that we generated from this one man. Hazel went, again, not knowing anything about Steven Seagal, to now she has a PhD in Seagal studies.
She actually listens to Lollipop while working out at the gym.
Okay, you're joking, but Lollipop has been stuck in my head for the last 3 weeks.
Lollipop. We've all had dreams with Seagal in it now. I don't know. Hazel and I have. I don't know if Justin has yet, but...
I had dreams he was my father.
And next week.
Now here's the lesson, boy. As a black child growing up in America.
Next week, we're going to continue our Race Hustler series with Sean King. Yeah, get ready, everybody. Frosters is a production of Zero Cool Media and The Last Podcast Network. Hazel Bryan produced this episode. Ian Brannon is our editor. Our associate producer is Anna Laradaga. Emily Fusco is our researcher. Our legal intern is Greg Fingerhut. Our theme music is by Simon Tafik. And some music in this episode was composed by Chris Olson. Thanks to Rob for McDojo Life and to the folks who really talked to us, who had worked on Lawman. We really appreciate everyone's time. See you next week.
In the California Road Trip Republic, we believe you take adventure for a ride. Whether coastal cruising, mountain motoring, or redwood roaming, discover beauty around every turn. Your California road trip can kick off from anywhere.
Starting route.
But it should always start at visitcalifornia.com. Then buckle up, crank those tunes, and ride with us in the California Road Trip Republic.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.